of stuff comes under tree canopy grant. It will come under.
Under what? Tree canopy.
Tree canopy grant.
Tree canopy. Yeah.
They allow silviculture. And you can't, well, I'm going to talk to you a minute. You can't go up there and harvest wood up there, particularly, because you have to go to that conservation plan, which is pretty darn technical. There's no motorized vehicles allowed in the bog. When I talked to Kevin Beale, he's reading that conservation, the Walker Bog Association is violating their own conservation plan by allowing snowmobiles up there and four-wheelers. Because the Secretary says in that conservation plan, no motorized vehicles in the bog. So, they're technically violating that. They have a bridge up there that's covered, I mean, permanent bridge. It says they have no permanent bridges in the Walker Bog, but they have one there. So, but let's go back to where the Walker Bog is. The Walker Bog borders Beecher Street, Route 90, and the Bog Road. I believe there's three places that it borders up there. It's about roughly, I believe, 5,000 acres. Lawrence Brooks over Beecher Street has got a huge chunk of that cut already. Dr. Dreyer, the eye doctor, is having 650 acres cut on his land. He's probably in Warren. They're cutting all the wood on that land. And I imagine there's a few other smaller lots cut. The Parks Commission wants to do a forest management plan, and let's see if I can explain this to you, because it's a little technical. An unmanaged forest around here, so you take 100 acres of a managed forest, it grows about one quarter of a quart of wood per year per acre. So if you get 100 acres, you're growing about 25 quarts of wood on that 100 acres, unmanaged forest. A managed forest that's well managed grows almost a quart of wood per acre per year. So now you're growing 100 cords of wood on that, still 100 acres. Well, if you're in the cut wood, which I don't think the city's in that market anyway, and, you know, pine going for $300 a thousand, or oak very high up there, you can make a little bit of money on it. I don't think the Parks Commission wants to go that route. We've talked to Bill, and Bill's going to be working with us and stuff. The bog is under shoreline protection zoning up there, shoreline protection. So that means when you go down over the hill, you get where the bog, the water runs down through there. Nothing can be done down there anyway. So, the only thing that can be done is up on higher ground. And the town owns a 70-acre woodlot up there that connects to the Rock and Bog. Yeah, we can go up, do up there, maybe do a forest management plan. We've talked to, I can't think of forest at all, because Barry Basilla's husband, Mid-Maine Forestry, he wants, you know, he charges $20 an acre for, if you don't, you know, if you just want a forest management done, it's $20 an acre. If you want to thin out the forest over there, I think it's $24 an acre. Then he starts marking the trees. The idea of a forest management plan is you want to get rid of your low-grade wood up there. The big mature trees up 100 feet something, they block the sun from all the little trees growing. They can be taken out of there. The low-grade trees is aspen, the popple trees. You really don't have no use for any popple trees anyway. The good trees is, you know, your oak, your maples, your beech, you know, I don't know if there's any ash up there or not, your pine, you know, we don't want to see none of that stuff took in. We want to keep that there for deer habitat, moose habitat and stuff. It's something that we've been working on. As like I said, I talked to Bill a couple times on this. We've talked to John Anders. We've had Annette Nagel come up here at City Hall with us and that type of stuff. So we're looking to do this. Right now we got a couple of projects we need to get done and move up in that area. And, you
is
know,
this the Parks Commission doing this, Mike?
Yeah,
Parks Commission that's working, that you're talking about, that's working
yeah,
on
Parks
it.
Yeah, Parks Commission, the tree warden, that's the tree warden's responsibility.
Okay.
The tree warden's part of the Parks Commission. Parks Commission goes by certain laws in the state and stuff like that, because we're a commission.
Joe is the tree warden?
What's that?
Joe Steinberger?
Yeah, I don't know if you want it.
Okay, well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. So who's doing what?
We're working on it as a group.
Okay.
Joe don't actually have the total say what's going to be going up there. It has to go to the group. We all vote on it and stuff like that, you know.
But it's in the
so park. Who's the group?
Parks.
I mean, actually, Joe, I who the persons are, because I know Joe.
Joe and Mike and whoever else.
Joan Wright, Alison Weaver, Mike Madugo, and myself.
Okay.
And I'm the chairman of it. So we can get things moved. I mean, for 3 years we had a younger lady that really doesn't have too much interest, I don't think, being on the basket, but we never went nowhere in 3 years. But now we've got four or five projects that we're working on. So our next project is obviously going to be this trail system. And that's where, probably Bill will be working. Bill's, you know, used to work for DEP, so we know we got to go over one stream, and that's down West Meadow. You know, so that's going to be a little bit of a challenge, but I think we can do that, no problem. It's going to be a bridge bill. It probably won't be a $100,000 one either. It's cheaper than that, I think, so. But, and then we're, I think somebody here talked to us about Better Mountain, or sent us an email or something. Yeah, we can get almost all the way up over Better Mountain then, and almost connect with the bog. But John Levinson's bog, because he has that for sale, and he wants to sell it to Parks Commission. It'd be a very nice thing for Parks Commission to get a hold of, but, you know, I don't know right offhand what's going to happen with that, you know, so. But the Parks Commission, you know, if we could get a hold of it to the city, the Parks Commission, he owns 250 feet of road frontage. The Parks Commission would just like to have 125 feet. The city could sell the other 125 feet for house lot. We don't need the whole thing up there.
That's at the bog.
At the bog, yeah. On West Meadow, up right. On the bog road. Yeah, we don't need all 45 acres up there. We just want to make sure that where the easement goes out, that we get that side over there. And, but this is, looks like it's going to be another year or two down the road. This $90,000 bathroom was taking up a little bit of time up there at Samoset, so.
So, my question on this, chapter, as far as the trails and everything that the Parks Commission, so the Parks Commission would pretty much be the ones that oversee what's going on with forestry resources and agriculture.
Yeah, any trees in Ogden, South Dakota, it should be going through Joe, which it does.
So is anybody else involved in that?
The city manager must have to weigh in if they're going to cut trees in the
forest. No, we're not. You can't. No, we're not even nowhere near that point yet.
Can you cut trees in the forest?
Mike, I was looking at this covenant, and it seems pretty clear that if you are bringing motorized vehicles in to manage the forest, that you can do that.
It says motorized
vehicles on protected property is prohibited except for emergency vehicles and those used for the purpose of silviculture operations.
Dragging logs. Well,
That would be harvesters, skidders, things like that.
That doesn't
include I think that you could,
the seasonal thing too.
The management part of it.
We wouldn't do it. If we'd done it, it's going to be a ways down the road still. Because it's going to take a while. We'd have to work with Morton, you know, work with state, work with the city council, the city manager, and all that. We just can't go up there and do it. We're going to have a forest management plan. And we wouldn't do nothing. We'd do it in the wintertime anyway when the ground is frozen. So less disturbing that. There is a section up there that Kevin Beale didn't even know was up there. It's considered a rare plant station by the state of Maine. It's been rested by the state of Maine. I don't know if that's in there or not.
No, what is that?
A rare plant station. There's rare plants up there you can't disturb.
But where is
it? The Rock and Bog.
Okay.
Oh, but where?
No, so I'm blind and I can't see the map.
Do you know where that was, where he might have noted that? Or
I don't know. I got a copy of it somewhere at the house, too. Yeah. Okay.
Often they're kind of cagey about it because those are also known as collector's items.
So that's, you know, that's where we are. I mean, we would be working with the city council, the property planning board, the zoning, the code enforcement officer, you know, people from the state on that and everything like that. And that's just a forest management plan. The other thing that was said is, you know, you referred to the Great Fire back in 1948.
Yeah.
We also had Chris Wycock. We took a tour up there. Well, Ed, Joe Steinberger, Chris Wycock, and at NATO. And Chris said, you know, it'd be very handy if we put a helicopter landing pad up there. He's serious. If they had somebody up there in the wintertime, snowshoeing and crossing the street and had a heart attack, how do you get them out of there? The snow is a couple inch or a couple feet, you know, you're not going to drive in there. You got to take a stretcher in there.
Right. There's a lot of parks, though, that we don't put helicopter pads in the middle.
No, a lot of parks aren't 5,000 acres, though. You know, there's not a park in there, so it's a true town on forest. They're not that big, you know, but that's something he thought, you know, but the bog up there, where John Levinson's property is, you can drive from there all the way over to Dunbar Road in Thomaston, right across the bog.
Mm-hmm.
One time there used to be an old skidder trail, they still drive across there now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, I said, ways on that. We're probably a couple of years away still on that. Could one you, good thing, we'll point it all of us to a 5-year term, so we got time.
Mike, could you clarify just from my notes, the forestry management plan that you're referring to that Parks is going to do, and you started your spiel by talking about the value of a plan that's clearing out some of the junk wood and how much more valuable the forests would be. Is that the extent of that forestry management plan, or is that only one component?
No. You check your soil, what soil types you have up there. There's a whole bunch of different things when all mid-Maine forests come in and talk to us about that they do when they do a forest management plan. You measure trees, how many, you know, like trees you got on an acre. They do that. They don't measure the whole acre. They do a 20 by 20, you know, foot area, count the trees on it, and they have a formula they use to figure out how many trees are on that. Basically, you can look at it two ways. If you want a bunch of deadwood and you don't take it out, then you're susceptible to a fire. It only takes one lightning strike to get a fire on there. You know, the other thing is getting your low-grade wood out. It just makes your younger trees grow a lot faster and improves your forest a lot. Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm asking is the forestry management plan, I would be thinking part of it would be maximizing your potential for harvestable wood, but I also think it also would be the recreational piece, too.
Right, yeah, we're going to get on that in a minute.
Okay.
The forest management plan, under this conservation plan, you're only allowed to take 2% of your wood out every 3 or 4 years, something like that. 2% is not, we're not talking the whole bog. We're talking just a higher up ground that might be 100 acres up there.
Yeah, you can't cut down the bog anyway.
No, we're not going to.
Well, that makes a question, though. And that is that if things are warming, and you know warm water species are showing up in the Gulf of Maine, and certainly it will be the same in the streams and lakes and woods. I know that the historic hardwood-softwood mix is probably changing. Mm-hmm. You know, does anyone know anything about that?
I haven't looked into it, but I have heard trees are migrating.
Yeah,
like ants.
You have a worry about problem with hemlock in Maine now, mm-hmm. probably more northern Maine. Some of you people might have been around when the spruce budworm was here back in the 70s. In Maine, lost about 3/4 of a spruce. Now, 3/4 of a spruce is up on the other side of Bangor. That's 18 million acres up there, forest land. The Bangor to New Hampshire border is 2 million acres. So, 3/4 of a spruce is up north. They try to get their house as much as they could so, you know, before the bucks get into the wood stuff for logs and stuff like that. Your money's not pulp. It's just, pulp is just nothing. Your money is in logs, and logs go for quite a bit of money. Maybe not right here in Maine, but, you know, in Canada they do. And that's where most people ship the logs to, is Canada.
There are some really good foresters in Maine. I've seen them profiled that it's a family forest, but by gosh, they've managed it so well that all they have are these, you know, as you say, timber-sized, board-sized lumber. And it really works once you reach equilibrium there.
Falmouth is one of the smallest towns in Maine that has a forest management plan. They harvested the wood in the town forest for $19,000 for it. Falmouth. There's all kinds of towns and little cities in Maine that has forest management plans. The biggest one, I guess, is 2,600 acres, and that's in Penobscot County, which is understandable. You know, that's a town-owned forest. Other ones go anywhere from 19 or 20 acres on up to 100 acres or something, or bigger, you know. And that's what it is you know, you get that wood out, you have more recreation. The problem, I think, we're having is ticks. There's so loaded with ticks up there that, you know, they have a couple, the state will spray ticks. They'll spray an organic herbicide or something like that on it. That's actually not a park up there. It's a city. It's a forest, you know, so, you know, the ticks are just so bad up there. Whether the city wants to get into spraying that, I don't know. It's very expensive. You would have the state do it. You know,
bring chickens in.
Huh?
Bring chickens in.
Or bring bats up. Put some bat houses up there.
Chickens.
Bats love.
Probably love game love birds in the past were probably very big on that. All the wild ones. Maybe that'd be a thing, is introducing, well, just calling them game birds. It's so 19th century. forest-dwelling birds. That so you were formerly very prominent.
Live, you know,
tick eaters.
There's so many foxes and coyotes, and there's actually what's them cats called? The bigger cats,
the fisher cats.
Huh?
Fisher cats.
Don't look like
No, the ones up north are the protected species.
Oh, the lynx.
The lynx. There are lynx up in the bog up there. I've had friends film them and stuff like that. So there are some lynx up there.
Go for a hike.
Very, very protected. So.
Very territorial.
Yeah, they are. Very protected.
I'd like to go exploring the way to the
wind. Yeah, I think our plan
I've
is...
I've been on the bog trail from Route 99. The ticks haven't been bad on that side.
I was talking about.
Yeah, she was saying she's afraid of exploring out because of the ticks, and I said that the bog trail from Route 90 isn't very bad right now for ticks, like, because when I bring my dog, I can see them right away if they're on him, and he hasn't picked up many there.
We're going to try sometime and get the boarding unit up there, which is a whole wall and the other trusses, whatever. See if they'll go start from one end and cut the lower branches on them trees out. I mean, if the branches don't touch it, you're going to get ticks on it. That's all there is to it. So, you know, well, you shouldn't.
That's true. Path widening, actually, I look for that as I'm walking through the woods.
Actually, it is what with ticks. What causes the problem with the ticks isn't the brush; it's the grass. They have it's the grass that's this high, and that's where your problem is. And with ticks, they're in recession right now, so that if you're taking walks, you won't see any, and they'll come back again in October.
Because the Thomas inside of the bog trail, we went on that, and is that John Lensler's property?
No,
there?
John's on the lock inside.
It's at the Buttermilk entrance. And it's a little
so
bit
it's
of
on
like
a bog entrance. It's a bog road entrance.
Yeah. It's the trail started on Buttermilk at the end of Buttermilk.
I don't know what
or is off of Buttermilk.
No, Buttermilk's
near Thomaston.
Yeah, Thompson side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
Thomaston and on the south end of the bog.
So the trail that connects to the Route 90 trail essentially.
Yeah.
So it's the same trail.
You'd certainly want to be careful about any kind of pesticiding the bog or the entryways into it and so on. I mean, it may be ticks, but I very, very much doubt if you're going to find something that's just tick specific.
Ultimately. I don't know if you're using pesticides, probably using insecticides.
Can you even use something like that in a bog?
What's that?
I wouldn't think you could use that.
Yeah, I doubt DEP would let you.
Plan on that,
the chickens.
Yeah,
chickens. Yes.
There is natural vegetation you can use for dealing with it. One of them, ironically, is the buttercup. It repels the ticks from it. And I know a friend of mine who actually planted it all around her lawn to keep the ticks out. Because she wanted to have something that was natural. The trouble is they're very prolific. They get going and you can't get rid of them.
I'd rather have them than dandelions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My wife's the same way.
More prolific than
jewelry. Well, if the kid's going to roll around in the buttercups, I mean, that's something that was a real joy for me as a kid on the farms. And
I'm looking at this map, and there's blueberry fields cultivating
on Route 90, across Route 90, up on Mount Pleasant, over Mount Pleasant, up on Route 17, up the end of Mineral Lake, there's that little turn out there. That's part of the trail system, too. It goes up over there,
so the white is supposed to be where
eventually
goes. It's cultivated crops.
You just got to keep watching the dates on the data, too.
Right. Well, that's what I'm wondering, because this is from, 2015.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Identifying,
not just blueberry, but pasture and hay, and some sort of cultivated crops.
Okay.
So there was definitely
They have a boat storage area.
Yep, I know where that is.
Right, but this is for Knox County.
Craig
so this is
one. And Aaron Toma, the president vice president of Boston. They have maps of all that stuff up.
Yeah, so it's listed in that same number he pulled out.
The passwords, you know, we put signs up there on the Boston side.
Okay.
Directing people where to go and stuff like that. This is going to be done in the near future, I think.
One thing they noted about increase in wetlands was actually a decrease in wet forests in some of the data they were using. It looks like they've combined them here. But they were looking at the stats from 92 up to the...
So did you look into blueberries at all?
No.
Okay.
I didn't think about that.
So I'm asking at the end of this chapter, there's a map that was from 2015, the land cover map, and it's broken down by land cover classification, and it has blueberry fields, cultivated crops, and pasture and hay. And I'm seeing on the map, which I'm trying to figure out if it's Rockland, blueberry fields and stuff, so.
There could be some up on West Meadow Road somewhere.
Yeah, that's where it is, on the other side of West Meadow.
And Amy, you said you knew of one farm, worker farm in Rockham?
Just a flower farm. It's on.
All right. I believe there's one up on Thomas Street. The lady has horses up there. They have year-round.
Horses?
Yeah.
Wow.
If they still have them. Back a few years ago, I had some other work done. And,
somebody has horses on Thomas Street.
I don't know if it's in Thompson. Thompson or Rockham. I think it's in Rockham is where it is.
You'll still ground truth up against Google Earth if you find that the satellite pass was within, say, the same time frame. Start to be able to differentiate exactly what's where.
So when you're saying farms, are you defining that term?
A farm under the state definition.
The $2,000 thing? Wasn't
nope.
There?
We are not defining it.
Because
it's not defined under the code, remember we talked about?
Yes. that's what I'm wondering how, for the purposes of this comp plan, whether or not when you talk about farms, should you be defining that in your chapter?
Well, I think we could suggest that that's a strategy that needs to be executed by the city.
Right.
But you also have a map, and if you don't have it, I'll make sure you have it, that shows the agricultural soils, so that you can have a map that shows what potential property could be.
Yeah. I think that it's kind of similar to the current land use and like future land use. It's like we have that information, but we don't have as like a projected where could it go. You know, like looking at the actual lots and.
Right, so you have to overlay it with the lots.
Yeah. So the other thing is, I don't know, because I don't know where the Lockham and Thompson boundaries on Thomas Street. At the end of Thompson Street, which is, you know, where the ball fields are and stuff, but on the other end, there is a big sheep farm down there, but I don't know if that's
in. Thomas.
Yeah, that's Thompson.
When you come down the valley, you go past what used to be the Gilbert farm.
Yeah.
Right, and then you come down, and there's a brook in there.
Yeah.
Just about that line runs almost at that brook.
Okay, that horse farm might be in Thompson, because that's just halfway or three quarters way up over there. That next hill he's referring to.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a lot of farms in Rockland. I know where most of them are. So.
And on Oliver Street, former police chief of Thomaston, I think he just retired, and he has a sheep farm.
Yeah, that's what Kevin and I was referring to.
So wait, but is it...
Oliver Street?
Does he have a permit? When I asked John who has, like, who's listed as a farm.
That was an area of discussion when I first came to town.
Okay.
Is whether or not he was grandfathered or not, and John didn't really.
So he has a sheep farm, like he's operating as a business, or it's just kind of his hobby farm?
It's a business.
It's a business.
They sell lambs and when they're born, for meat or whatever.
I don't even know his name.
Kevin Hyde.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Hyde, and Sandy works for.
Wait, how do you spell his last name?
H-A-I.
H.
There is a sheep farm on Oliver Street?
Yes.
My goodness. Yes. Is there mutton for sale?
Where else? Where the farm is?
I mean, I like lamb, but this is so pricey.
Maybe one was.
Could there be more than one Oliver Street?
Up on Thomas Street.
It's the one that connects Lime Rock to. That ties over to Park.
Right.
Yeah.
There's sheep
farm
there.
But
you said you remembered
where
the other ones used to be?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Gilbert's farm was on Thomas Street.
Yep.
Bucky Gilbert, his father owned it. That's what his name was, Bucky Gilbert. Right there by South School, between Lovejoy Street and Water Street. A guy had a half a dozen
herbs. Yeah, I remember the cows there.
It'd probably be a good idea for planning to record those former long-term ownerships, like the Gilbert land and so on, probably was there for quite a few. Other
Mason
big,
Johnson.
Big
Johnson.
Parcels.
Up on Oak County Road, up on West Mountain Road, Elijah Dairy Farm. Yeah. Elijah being 30, 40 cows.
Right. Mm-hmm. The Brackett Farm up by Acorn Cemetery. Yeah.
So what have these places turned into now that
they're... Brackett Farm might be in the house lots now.
Yeah.
The Mason Johnson Farm, I think, a landscaping company, the one that...
Yeah, Jim Stevens.
Yeah, has it.
Owns it.
So nothing's been left to just go back to a natural habitat?
No, the farm up there on
Lovejoy, isn't it? There's nothing there.
Yeah,
right?
That's Harvey Gerson's farm. They had just a half acre or something there.
He just had a few cows grazing there. It wasn't like a big...
No. Years and years ago, Dodge's Mountain was a farm.
Right.
Because they would say, this is where they were.
Well, I'm just, the reason I'm asking is because the whole point of the comprehensive plan is land use, right? And so if you have something that was formerly farmland, then is it something that you want to keep undeveloped for?
I know another one in Rockham, too.
Where's that one?
Good idea.
It's Lizzie Dickinson's old place.
I was just thinking
that. Lakeview Avenue.
By Taylor School.
Yeah, down to Lakeview Avenue, that road that goes on. Mm-hmm.
Behind the store?
Behind Taylor School.
Okay.
She had houses up there on that one.
There was a 60-acre parcel on the that cornered at Shure Lane and on West Meadow Road that was a farm. And that was
a farm.
Big farm.
And that was my family's farm.
West
Meadow Road. And when you turn,
119 West Meadow Road.
Right.
To go to the corner of Shearer Lane and West Meadow.
You're going to come right to the book.
It's actually in Ann Morris's book.
Nothing.
So this is what I'm wondering. So I'm looking at the draft from December of 2015, and some of the policies said to safeguard lands identified as prime farmland or capable of supporting commercial forestry, to support farming and forestry and encourage their economic viability, and to promote the use of best management practices for timber harvesting and agricultural production. So I think that when we're talking to the community and residents and stakeholders, I think that would be something to think about, I guess.
And, you're getting what the old county road going towards Rock for. You had fines up there, too. I don't recall. They have where the hospitality, and I think that's in Rockport. Mm-hmm. Hospitality houses now is a farm.
On the backside of Chicken.
Yeah, so I think that there are more than one potential place, and if the city's interested in.
Right up behind Green Thumb, you always see them cattle up there in that big pasture.
You can seek out the philanthropists, too.
Well, that's a different phase of this project.
Yes, okay.
That's not our department.
They just don't make land anymore.
No, that's where heart and soul comes into this process, is where we'll be connecting, finding what the needs are and who can address those needs without it being a governmental.
So one of the things, how long does
I was hoping that was heart and soul, that would have a dip, have an impact on that.
No, I'm not the one that paves the road. I run
a ferry.
Okay.
I am.
Vision.
Yeah, your ferry's broke down right now, is that?
No, she's up, running.
Oh, you got Eric Meckler slings off Batakas Island?
Yep.
They're off now, So, Jimmy has been here all his life. I've been here all my life.
Yep.
So we know these things, I don't know how long some of you people have been here.
Three years.
Like you, Julie, I don't know how long you've
been
here.
3 years.
3 years.
So we can understand you.
And I'm running
you,
this ship.
We can understand you people not knowing about all these farms and stuff.
No, but this is why I think it's critical, and I say this all the time. It is critical for me and for Amy and for Kelly and for Shelley.
Yeah.
We came here. We love it. We're not trying to change it.
No.
We respect the history, and I can't imagine not having that history. So, when I talk to Jim and I talk to Mike and I talk to Sandra, it's just all educational to me. And that's how I've approached, talking to my stakeholders.
I want to share something with you people. When I was a eighth grade in high school, I had a job on one, working at a dairy farm. Most of my 2 thirds of my lifetime has been dairy farms. I worked on some of the largest dairy farms in Maine, being the herdsman, was taking care of the cattle, saving them farmer money because you do the vet work. I worked on one of the largest farms in Florida before I came back to Maine. That we had over 5,000 head of dairy cows down there, milking 3 times a day. So
you're not technically a resident. You just pointed out that you are not a resident.
I've been here for 12 years. So, done a lot of work down there. Field work. I mean, I'm talking about major field work down there. We planted 800,000 acres of oats in the fall down there, and planted a lot of corn, and, we chopped the fields 6 or 8 times a year, and so it's a lot different in Maine. Everything's much bigger scale. We had our harvester could do almost 200 acres a day when it comes to chopping hay. Nothing like that. Well, there's a few farms in Maine that can do that much, but, do it 6-7 times a year, so I went to agriculture school in New York for animal science. They had a big maple syrup operation up there with about 2,000 trees, and it was all gravity fed. That was nice, the maple syrup trees were up high, and they put it right into a milk tank. I spent 2 years down there in the college, and, that was forestry and agriculture, so, and actually, I cut wood for gardening. I know Jimmy and Andy Arie, you know?
Yeah.
And you two know Andy Arie enough. I worked with him about 8 years in logging, mostly in Tennessee.
Right. Mm.
What's that?
I said, sounds like you're on the right committee. You know well, what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I've done a lot of cutting on islands for Andy Arie, his own barge and talking grapples.
We're getting
there. We're looking at grapple skidders, you know, big saw heads, D-levers, and all that stuff. So
yeah, that's Mike's just certainly a full guys, well of knowledge.
Yes.
But, so have a little experience.
I'd love to know where all those old farms are.
Okay, yeah, so Mike, do you...
Drive past all the empty fields and there's trees, but I wonder, what's it like?
And, you know, as on the parchments, and I've talked to Will Clayton about this, other parchments, our city council says, I'd love to plant about 500 trees a year in Rockford.
Hmm.
Where's the money coming from?
Well, we'll get donations.
Huh?
We'll get donations.
Yeah.
Aren't you the king of donations? You do pretty good with that.
Donations?
Yeah, getting donations.
I managed to sell Bruce Boucher and Tom Madras and take a class night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so does anybody have, because I got to move on, does anybody have any questions, concerns, any place you see overlap, any place that you could see we could go in a different direction?
If there's information I had to want to supply the supply you all, who do I send it to?
If you send it to
everybody?
It to me.
Yeah,
you can send it to me.
Because there are things on forest cover changes in the area and so on that I think will sort of get you up to speed on.
Yeah, I can actually get it out to whoever's handling that chapter.
Okay.
Yeah.